Q Publius 4. I hope my voice is okay today. It was streaming weird. Let me just have a little sound check. Last time I heard myself, it was a little... You're listening to DJ Demaru, Evolution Revolution. And I'm doing a little sound check. So it's gonna be weird. Toot-toot-doop. There you go. That's perfect. All right. Let's start in music with Clark and the album Cave Dog.
I'm
You're listening to DJ Damaru Evolution Revolution live from Kootenai Lake. We started with Clark, and I really like Clark Evolution with his music over the years. Quite electronic to start with, and brought in a lot of his vocals. I don't know, it's an interesting kind of step into using your own voice in your music and then starting to play around with it and then realizing it doesn't take much to take your voice and sample it, cut it, and make part of your music with it without it being the center stage. And so, following his evolution, the first time I heard a track from Clark that had his voice in it, I wasn't too sure. I was like, oh, that's different. And but as he continued to produce, his voice became really kind of part of this kind of his creative flow, and very inspiring at the same time. I really enjoy recording myself and filtering it and creating raw material for mixing and playing music. And continued in music with Ben Hawk with the album A Little Heal. The song is One Question. I also got some music for you this morning. Didi Han, Korean producer, very techno rave. It's refreshing. It sounds good. It feels good to play a bit of I wouldn't say cheesy, easy listening techno music. Anyway, this is Didi Han in the Zone, A Rim Shot on the Clouds. We'll be right back.
happening in the world today.
We just listened to Ben Hawk with Funky Funky A Little Heel, the album title is, and that was from Bleep.com, one of the latest download. Music is coming from Bleep this morning. Check it out. I like the curation in Bleep. It's just different. I use different online store, but Bleep has a NTDRM, no DRM on your music, and it keeps your library forever compared to other stores that don't or use DRM. I'm on Linux and Unix. I can't. Oh yeah, I'm on Unix now. I can say that. I'm using OpenBSD on my laptop. I'm a Unix man. Because I'm using these type of tools, I can't do the Google Music, Amazon Music, iTunes Music, and all of the above. They're just a pain. And So Bleep.com, Ben Hawk, and before that, Didi Han with Rim Shot on the Clouds, a Korean producer. And feel free to check them out on Bleep.com. And I like to buy new music regularly and share that with the community. It makes me listen to new music and also think about ways to bring that in parties and events and things like that. And I was pretty happy to do a more dancey mix today. Listen to Evolution Revolution with DJ Jamaru. from Kootenay Lake, live on Anon Radio. We just heard Publius before storytelling about the Zeppelin. It was a very interesting information about the lining of a Zeppelin with cowhide and silk and all the stuff that we take for granted today to be making fabrics that are permeable to gases. It was a fun listening. And today I'll be mostly music, a little bit to report from the interweb, the December adventure. I'm not sure who, when, why started that, but it seems like a lot of coders are taking December as a month where you code a little bit every day and share that on Mastodon or wherever you are. I don't code a lot, but I've been setting back up my setup from three tools that I'm mostly using for computer music, three or four tools that I go back to once in a while. Them being Orca. Orca is a live coding tool. I'm reading the book, Life Coder book, which is available for free online from the TopLap groups. Anyway, if you're into live coding, they just released a book last year, I think, and brings a lot of memories because I've used different live coding platform and been around the people creating these tools. So I really enjoy the... some of these tools. Orca is one created by Devin Liu from 100 Rabbits, and Pure Data, it's been around forever, another live programming visual tool, as well as Frontier. Frontier is a Frontier, which is a granular synthesis tool. That is very visual, so you plop in sound waves and then you plop your grain on top of that. And it's one of the most interesting granular synthesis tool. I understand there's a lot of hardware tools for doing granular synthesis, and there has to be some visual to it, it seems like. For granular synthesis, you have a tool called the GR1, which is a synthesizer that does granular synthesis, and it's very visual. And Publius doesn't have my address. I should have my address listed there because I have a PO box, which makes it kind of anonymous. Anyway, Publius just left the chat room with a lot of caps letter there, caught my attention. So yeah, granular synthesis is a new way of doing synthesis. I say new because it's 20 years old and I'm getting old. So, doing it in Frontier, which is a Linux tool, an open source tool, makes it quite nicely visual. And these are the three main tools I use for composing music. Pure Data being a visual programming language, and Orca being a kind of visual programming, but with letters bouncing around, and then Frontier. And I talk about that because, yeah, this is what's happening in December, December Adventure. You can check it out online, and people are kind of coding new stuff and keeping you up to date of their coding. Following up months of NaNoWriMo, where people are writing every day, or SynthThember, where people are creating SynthTrack every day. December is now for coders, and there's a little challenge every month of the year. I've been reading The Introduction to Zen Buddhism from Suzuki, and it's been very enlightening. I'll talk a little more about that after. Some more music from Clark. So today, the three albums I'll be jumping around from is Clark, Cave Dog, Didi Han with In Da Zone, and Ben Hawk with A Little Heel, if you need to find them online. So yeah, let's move on with Medicine Dove with Clark, Cave Dog. Thank you. This was Medicine Dove from Clark from his album Cave Dog. I wasn't impressed by the cover. I do look at album covers, yes, and I'm a sucker for a nice cover. And this cover was pretty bad. Just kind of, fluorescent green and just Cave Dog as a title. And I wasn't very impressed with that, but I know Clark from previous album, and just listening to some of the content, I was like, oh, let's try that. And I'm very I'm very charmed with this song in particular. Is really nice, and as a producer myself, just listening to the way the samples are used and the voice is used, and you could almost say that there was a bit of granular effect into the notes, the way they were played. And just mentioning that as I was talking about granular synthesis from the tools that I'm using. So, Clark, it's a good artist to discover, who has a lot of material online and kind of been doing that for a while. You're listening to Evolution Revolution with DJ Damaru. I often talk about evolution and revolution, not as much today, mostly in music. And I've been reading an introduction to Zen Buddhism. I started practicing Zen Buddhism a long time ago. When I was in high school, there was a dojo next to where I was living that I would, it was on one of the paths I could take to go to school. And it was just a beautiful space, and it got my imagination going, and I ended up meditating there for a few years, a year or so. And I loved the aesthetic of Zen, the dojo, the zafu and the zabuto, and what you wear, the incense you burn, all the tools, all the paraphernalia around Zen Buddhism. It's really beautiful. It's enjoyable. When you meditate, it's nice to buy stuff as well. It's a nice way. You're like, oh, let's become spiritual. And then you're like, well, let's buy shit so that you're even more spiritual. And it kind of feels good to be spending money on tools, meditation tools and spiritual tools. And of course, there's this materialism or consumerism that you're like, oh, that's not the best part of it, but might as well be buying nice stuff. So Zen Buddhism got introduced through the lineage of Taisen de Shimaru, who was a Japanese Zen Buddhist master who came to France. So a lot of his material was translated in French, and that's why he had a dojo in Montreal, French-speaking Montreal. And so I mostly read his stuff and studied under that lineage for Zen Buddhism, and I'd never went to study a lot more outside of that. For me, Zen has always been about the Zazen, the practice itself, and there's not much to talk about Zen. You just do it. You're kind of, the practice is, the secret is in the pudding. Is that the idea? I don't know. So for me, Zen was about the practice, about the sitting, about the walking, about the mind state, and not so much the philosophy behind it or the text. And you don't read a lot of text, and it's just a pured way. Zen Buddhism, I mean, it comes from Chan Buddhism, and it all comes from India. From India, you have all these branches of Buddhism. There's Buddhism that looks like actually Catholicism in the sense of the rituals and all that stuff. And then there's other Zen, other Buddhism that are more Tantra-based, which has been influenced by shamanism and other Bon religion from Tibet, for example. So you have all these kind of different branches of Buddhism, but really when you look at the life of the Buddha, it was quite simple. And I feel Zen Buddhism is a little bit of that, kind of coming back to the sources, or this kind of very foundational, you know, sitting and dissolving into reality. So for me, Zen, I've never kind of thought about it as a mystical art or a philosophy that you kind of have to intellectually understand or talk about. But by reading Suzuki, D.T. Suzuki, on the introduction of Zen Buddhism, it's very interesting. And he goes in a very, very inspiring way, talks about Zen Buddhism a little bit like Taoism, for some reason, where the definition of Zen cannot be really defined by words, and how and why Zen also go against logic often, not only through their stories, their Zen stories and the koans, wording that they use for helping the mind to and get enlightened, but kind of a solid stance against this logic, this Aristotle logic. And it kind of opened up for me a kind of a view of a spirituality, but also a different understanding of what people have been flagging as the collapse of our modern society. And so in short, reading about Zen Buddhism, this idea of going against this idea of logic, and me acknowledging that in the spiritual development, at one point you have to let go of that logical view of reality in order to be able to let go of a lot of our human baggage that is upheld by that logical line of this equal this, so therefore you should be doing this. And by reading Suzuki, discovering the toxicity of logic and how it's been imbued in our mind, and now it's, you know, it's like if it doesn't make sense, then it doesn't exist. And so it's outside of our logic. So therefore, logic prevail everything. And, you know, that's a false statement to start with. You know, logic doesn't prevail everything. Logic is just the construct of the mind. There's no logic before what the mind has created as logic. But because logic in itself exclude everything that is not logical, it becomes a bit of a poison by itself. And anyway, long story short, realizing that what we are experiencing as a the end of something, the collapse of something, it's not so much the collapse of our economy or the collapse of a corporation and things like that, but it's actually more of a collapse of that reliance on logic. At the same time, as you have groups of people talking about the collapse, you know, on very high level discussion, intellectual levels, university, studying what is really happening in our civilization and the signs of collapse. At the same time, you have that kind of higher study, and you have also on the spiritual world this prediction of awakening of the culture. So these two kind of strangely go hand in hand, and the point that they might have in common, or what I've kind of discovered through my reading that could fit the bill of being in common, is the collapse of the logical mind. And if that collapse happens, then of course the enlightened mind can come. You don't get through enlightenment with logic, but with logic you can destroy a whole planet, justifying it by this is, you know, what we need to do as a culture because that's how you make money. So in one hand you can have logic collapsing, while on the other hand an enlightened society emerging.
We'll be right back.
This was a Didi Han, Korean producer, with a Rave On Tonight in the album In The Zone. I'm not sure. I like to discover new artists, and not sure if I like it. It has a nice groove. Interesting. Very simple. But hey, I'm not producing stuff like that. So what can I say? You're listening to DJ Damaru Evolution Revolution, and a little mix dance pump this morning, and talking about Zen and Buddhism, and of course, Grand Theft Auto 6. They finally release their first video. Interesting. I liked Grand Theft Auto 5. I have to say that I did not purchase the game when it was launched. I think I waited until I bought it for $9.99 or $10 or something like that. But the game was interesting. The Grand Theft Auto 5. I've followed Grand Theft Auto since the beginning of its inception, where you could only see from the top view there, and it was a two-dimension game, and we had a lot of fun burning cars and doing all that stuff. And when the 3D version came out, I remember not being impressed. I was like, no, it was so good to have it just like a two-dimension game and keeping it very simple. And so I did not play for a while the different version, a little bit here and there on PlayStation. And but Grand Theft Auto 5, finally played it on Linux a few years ago, and it was enjoyable. A nice big map where you can do whatever you want, jumping in parachute or climbing mountain and dirt biking, and kind of a fun playground of a 3D world. And definitely some part of the game weren't that interesting, but finished the game and realized I'd spent 40 hours of my life on that game, and I was a little shocked when you work from home and account for your own business, and then you realize you spend 40 hours on something that actually doesn't make any money. It was a little shocking, to say the least. Grand Theft Auto 6 coming up in 2025. They give themselves another couple years, almost a year, I guess. But it looks interesting. A very big world. Finally, you can have a woman protagonist. I generally play games with the female protagonist, but Grand Theft Auto 5 was such a sausage party of just very sexist and really male-oriented, and it was, to a point that was kind of annoying at one point. Grand Theft Auto 5 wasn't making any leeway. It was like, why can't I just use a different character than that? And so everything was around that kind of male chauvinism, and not very enjoyable. But Grand Theft Auto 6, well, you'll be able to play a guy or girl. Wow. Way to go, Rockstar. And the world seems really big and just more malleable. That's one thing with the Grand Theft Auto series, like how malleable the game is, like how you can jump in a plane, fly a plane, jump from the plane on a car, get in the car, jump on top of a mountain, go down in a bike, go underwater, explore ruins and things like that. Like this kind of plasticity of reality. It's very enjoyable when you can do whatever you want in a game and benefit or not, and then it seems like Grand Theft Auto 6 will have a lot more of that. We saw people on cars, for example, on the roof, and then, you know, just doing stupid stuff. And anyway, it's so far ago, far ahead that I don't even want to care about it now that it's 2 years and my brain just made a little trash cabinet and put it in the trash cabinet because it's way too far in advance. I don't want to be thinking about that for a whole year. Anyway, you've been listening to DJ Damaru Revolution, talking about Zen and Grand Theft Auto and the December adventure, if you want to follow some coders around for the month of December. And we'll just listen one more track from Clark, the Silver Pet Crank. And thank you for listening. Tomorrow morning, there will be some meditative synth playing and maybe some... leading some meditation. All right. Have a good day.